after college, I was going to be a teacher because that was kind of the family trait.
And every day I would come up with a rundown sheet of what I thought the show was going to be. And then Steve would walk in and crumple it up.
60 Minutes would come on. And just watching that and seeing the storytelling and the life-changing reporting they did, you know, every Sunday, totally sucked me
in. I had spent my whole week, every week, looking for the funny in life. And if you look for that, you'll find it. And the other thing you'll discover is if you spend your whole time looking for funny, you're going to be a very happy person.
You can have a great set of facts. You can have a great set of data. But if you don't have a good story that surrounds it and it's not well told, then it doesn't translate.
707 on 720 WGN. Thank you for joining us on this chilly, cold. We're going to get down to single digits night in Chicago, and it's going to warm your heart because we have four journalists in studio with us tonight. Maudlin Iherjareka is en route. She's being, hopefully, fingers crossed. I texted with her earlier today. She's on her way. Hermine Hartman is in studio. Hermine is a friend of WGN. You've been on many times this radio station before with Justin Kaufman.
I'm official analysis.
That's right. That's right. And we shared cheeseburgers on election night, you and me, so we go back a long way. Shannon Peoples is in studio as well. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Bob Chirito, one of our crime reporters in town. Bob, I had this big intro by calling you all a power quad, is what y'all are, because all four of you have limitless accolades. You've covered some of the biggest stories in the nation, and let alone in Chicago history and of our time. Stories of civil rights, mass shooting, city hall, politics, philanthropy. So I want all of... Well, first of all, welcome.
Thank you for being here.
Great to be here.
First, why don't we have each... I've introduced all of you, but why don't you give me a little bit of background? Shannon, why don't we start with you, since you're
I'm Shannon Peoples. I'm a native of Chicago. Grew up in the burbs here, northwest burbs, and went to Columbia College, studied broadcast journalism, and happy to, you know, be back in Chicago. This is my hometown, so I'm here to represent Chicago.
Nice.
Very nice. Hermine?
Hi, I'm Hermine Hartman, and we've been publishing weekly newspaper, Indigo, for a while. Mm-hmm. Now we're Indigo Online, and now we're on television with Indigo Studio.
That's right. Bob Chirito.
I'm also a Columbia graduate, like Shannon.
Oh.
Chicago native. And I'm a freelancer and write for a lot of different outlets.
Yeah.
From New York Times, Reuters, Black Club Chicago, probably about four or five others.
So. We're going to get into some of the specific stories that y'all have covered, too, over the years and throughout your careers. But what made you want to be a reporter? What made you want to be a journalist? Hermine, why don't we start with you?
So, as you might remember, I was a professor at City Colleges and then went into administration. And I taught sociology and psychology. And we were in charge, when I went into administration, of communications within the college. And so, in a very micro way, I saw communications very poorly because college to college, nobody knew what the other college was doing. So I started putting networks together for the college. And then I said, you know, this could go elsewhere and probably be profitable. So I did not like the way black Chicago was being portrayed in major press. It was always negative. It didn't have the fullness of the spin to it. And I thought I could bring something to the table by talking about black middle class and things that people were doing, activities, events, and with profiles. And I was right.
And that's a big step, too, being an African-American woman for this undertaking.
Well, I'll tell you, owning a newspaper, it ain't a woman's business, okay? It's nice to write and go home, but if you publish, you got to write and go home and deliver papers and go to the press and do all that kind of layout and do all that kind of...
I would ask you what the hardest part is, but then that would probably take up another hour.
No, it's real simple.
Is that it?
Delivering that paper.
Really?
That's the hardest part. But I got a good team.
Yeah.
I put a good team together, and after we got that team together, it was like straight ahead.
See, full steam ahead. Shannon, how about you? What made you want to be in this business of ours?
You know, my journey was similar to Hermine's. You know, growing up in... you know, the suburbs, you know, people would approach me and they had these certain expectations of me that were just totally false.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was an avid TV watcher as a child growing up and everything, and I just saw our images, and they were never really kosher images of us, because I said, I don't know any of these people.
Right.
You know, that they were showing.
It was a misperception.
Yeah, totally misperception. Yeah. And then sometimes just an out-and-out lie. So, yeah. You know, when I was in high school, I said, what can I do? You know, so I said, I love to write. You know, I wrote for the high school newspaper and everything. And I said, I said, I think I'm going to become a journalist, you know.
And that's what did it.
I just gravitated towards television and enrolled in Columbia College, and here I am.
And there you are. All right, Bob, what made you decide to do this?
Well, I've been doing it since probably, no, not in my blood so much. My mother was an English teacher, but no reporting background really in the family. But I've liked it.
That's key, though. You need to have the English background. You need to have a little bit of political science. And you have to have that to be.
Sure.
It all starts, right?
Yeah.
Being a writer.
Be a writer.
Being a writer.
Yeah, and I've always been on the print side pretty much. So, and I've done it since really junior high, high school, college, you know.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
I remember I had a teacher in fifth grade who called me the town crier. And
right? Yeah. Accurately?
Probably.
Yeah, right. Rick Hogan called you an old-fashioned shoe leather reporter and one of the best in town because you pound the pavement.
Aww.
Well, that was very flattering coming from Rick.
Yeah, he's one of the best.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of one of the best, I should sound the trumpets here. I'm so excited. I've talked to this woman needs no introduction, but Maudlin Ijerica.
Okay.
I did it. I've been saying it all day long. We've been talking on the phone. But everybody calls you Maud.
Maudlin.
And Maudlin.
It's because nobody can say the last name.
I know. Ijerica. One of the, I was going to roll out the red carpet for both of you, not to exclude the guys here, but for both of the ladies, one of the top 25 women in Chicago journalism.
Yay!
Of 2019.
Maudlin!
All right,
and an author.
Yeah. Oh my. Yeah. Several times over. She's just grinning. Here, lean up again. All right. Tell us. Start from the beginning.
Oh my God. Yeah. Right. So I'm a reporter.
And what made you want to do this? Because people know all of you. People know your names. People have read your stories.
Yeah.
You're out there, but they want to know. What made you decide to do this?
Right.
Little Maudlin.
That's exactly what it was.
How old were you?
I was six.
Really?
You hit it on the head. Little
six.
Maudlin at six, yeah. And my dad was the kind of father who would throw all of his kids in the station wagon on Saturday mornings and take us to the library. And we would be forced, I said forced, to check out three books, read all three, and give him a book report by the following Saturday, wherein we would go back and check out three more books.
You mean a book report and that you had to write it out, not just a verbal. Here's what
That's
I read.
Right.
That was my magic number two.
My mother, your parents?
Oh yeah, three.
Oh my gosh.
Every week.
Isn't that
in
something?
In addition to whatever was going on in school.
Wow.
So that meant you reading a book like every other day.
Yes.
And then telling you what to read, because I went and got some real good books. I mean, really, Maudlin, some good books. My mother says, where'd you get this? And I said, at that library you told me.
Right.
And she's like, we're doing Wuthering Heights, and we're doing a little Shakespeare.
Right.
Classical reading.
Classics.
Those are too hard. And she's like, they're not. Yeah.
So, strong family support.
Yeah.
Would you all agree?
Absolutely.
Strong family, but you too, Shannon?
Education was stressed.
Yeah.
In fact, growing up, my parents insisted that me and my brothers all try to learn another language, because we said, why do we need to learn another language? Do we speak English?
Right.
They said, because if you go to any country in the world, they speak two to three different languages.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mine too. Mm-hmm. They made every one of us take a second language
Correct.
In high school.
Correct.
We couldn't opt out.
Mm-hmm.
No. In fact, when I was very young, a friend of mine said, well, I'm not going to go to college. And I said, my friend Chrissy's not going to, I went to my mom, I said, she's not going to go to college. She said, she may not be going to college, you're going to college.
Right. Don't even think
you're
about it.
You're going to school, right. Don't even think twice about it, right?
In fact, you're going right now.
Exactly right. It's Andre and the reporters. Thank you all for being with us. It's Maudlin Ijerica, Hermine Hartman, Bob Chirito, and Shannon Peoples in studio. Much more on their stories, some of the greatest stories that they've ever covered. And what still haven't they done? That's going to take up another hour of the program. 716, 720 WGN. Back to Andrea and the reporters. 720 on 720 WGN. Maudlin Ihajarika, Hermine Hartman, Bob Chirito, and Shannon Peoples all in studio with me. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
All right.
Thank you.
Of course.
That's a power play right there.
Look at it's like the room is not. The room isn't big enough.
I mean,
for all of you. Holy cow!
For these guys.
And you all said yes. I said, oh, this is going to be. I wasn't going to introduce you as the power quad coming in. These are some of the biggest names we've had in here, all in studio, all at the same time.
And you know, we never get to see each other, so this is even better.
Right? Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
I mean, people think that we bump into each other all the time covering stories, but no, this is very rare that we're all together.
Yeah.
Do y'all remember the first story you ever wrote or you ever covered? One of the first? Did it really stand out?
Gosh.
I was in Louisiana, and I had to go cover Bobby Jindal.
Oh, lean in a little bit.
Yeah, I had to cover, you know, Bobby Jindal in Louisiana, and I was sweating, I was shaking.
Who is Bobby Jindal?
He was the governor of Louisiana.
Oh, okay, Governor Bobby Jindal.
Yeah, and I was so scared. I was terrified because, you know, they were like, oh, okay, Shannon, you know, we know you're new, but, you know, this, say this and say that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so then when I saw him, you know, I just kind of started... You know, I started wobbling back and forth.
Sure.
But I had to hold it together, and I did a good job.
Right.
You know?
Of course you did.
You know? Like,
if you do say so
I wasn't fired that day, so I did a good job.
How, you know, this is a good question. People ask this a lot, too. How do you hold it together? I mean, you're covering somebody either who maybe you've never covered before, or it's a whole new realm, a whole new world for you. You're a young reporter. How do you hold it together?
You just have to.
Focus.
Got to do what you got to do.
Focus.
You have a job to do. You have to get it done, and you do it.
Mm-hmm. I believe in preparation, and that means you write your questions down.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So if you lose it or you can't think of anything at the moment, you know, you got a guide there.
Right.
I believe in, I call it 10 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually leads conversation here, conversation there.
Yeah.
And then if you're trying to make a point or trying to find out something particular, you know, you focus those questions accordingly.
Right.
But don't be afraid to veer from your questions.
Oh, no. I don't mean stick to them and only that. Mm-hmm. I just mean here's my guide. This is what I'd like to know about.
And I think you just have to realize everyone puts on their pants one leg at a time, so there's no reason to be intimidated by anyone.
You nodded too, Maudlin. Mm-hmm. Preparation being key.
Yeah, preparation being key. For me, though, the preparation is in just, you know, deep diving into the person.
Mm-hmm.
But then I operate better off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you?
Once I've read, like, you know, more than I could ever possibly need to know about that person, then I just trust on instinct and let the conversation go where it's going to go.
Okay, mm-hmm. you've been with the Sun-Times 30 plus years.
Nearly 30.
Nearly 30 years. You were 26.
Mm-hmm.
You were editor. Right. You covered crime, inner city, housing. You worked in the press office for Governor Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
You have done it all. You worked with Bobby Rush, successfully helping to reelect him. Studs Terkel Award, president of both the Chicago Journalists Association, the National Association of Black Journalists Chicago Chapter. What stands out? I know it's almost like asking you to pick a favorite parent or a favorite child or a favorite relative. When I say your name, when I say, what do you want people to remember a story you've done, a story you've covered, just something that really stands out that you're proud of? It could be something mainstream or maybe something from a long time ago. But I'm going to ask all of you that, too.
Wow.
Something that really stands out. Wow. And I'm going to read from all your bios, too, because usually I'll highlight a few things. Look at the paper. Everything's highlighted. Hermine Hartman. Your backstory is amazing, too, how your father, I didn't know your father was the first black Pepsi-Cola distributor in the entire country.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
My father was I call him a Pepsi pioneer.
Yeah.
First black, because y'all always put black folks in something. But my father was really one of the pioneers of Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Your career began during the Civil Rights Movement. Mm-hmm. You were working for Operation Breadbasket with Reverend Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Coordinating the organization's Black Expo, in addition to just doing some other jobs for BBM TV, and then various.
That was my first media job.
That was your first one.
Yeah, I was producer of Common Ground for Warner Saunders.
Oh,
and we had four jobs between us. We had Warner was community affairs and host of Common Ground. I was his assistant in community affairs and the producer for Common Ground. So one job, he was my boss. And the other job, I was his boss.
Okay.
Man, you talk about a good time being had. We were fighting all the time.
Were you really?
Yeah, because we had to, you know, switch hats. Okay, now Warner's on. Now you do what I say. Now you do what I say.
Right. So you were all wearing more hats when time when you didn't even have to do that. Today, you have to wear, you have to do digital. You have
at
to
one
do
point, I was the only black female producer in town.
Wow.
How did you, at that point.
How did you feel at that point?
Well, one, I didn't know it.
Okay.
And then after I knew it, I didn't care. Mm. And then it was like, we got to do a job. I mean, you're producing a show every week, and Warner was a hard taskmaster. And if I believed, if you, I'm an act magician by training, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to have an author on, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to read the book, right? And Warner was like, you don't have to read the book. All you got to do is say, what's the book about? And I was like, no, you can't do that. No prep, right? And he was like, they're going to tell you what the book's about. And what are you writing all those questions for? And I was like, because you got to know what you're talking about. You know, you can't just
Print versus broadcast mentality.
Right. Here, here.
Typical broadcast mentality, right?
Right.
And you had all these events to go to because you're representing the station, you
know? Sure,
sure. So it was a good time. And then I was still teaching. I wouldn't give up my position.
You were still
at
teaching.
The college. I was still teaching. Mm-hmm. So it was fun. It was fun.
Were you proud and scared with the first jobs?
Oh gosh,
I was scared as a producer because when I walked into the studio, I didn't know tape from film. I knew nothing. I knew how to. I thought I could figure out the producing thing. That was easy. I was just putting a show together, but. The unions are what scared me, which means that if you sat down in a chair and I wanted to move the chair, or I wanted to give you a cup of coffee or move the cup so it would be in view, the unions would go, oh no, you can't do that. And I was like, why? And it was like, because you're not in the union.
Oh, right.
Okay. And then we bumped up to the news, so we couldn't go over. So we got real good at time precision.
Oh.
Got very, very good at time precision because, of course, nothing ever stops the news.
Oh, no.
There is no overage. It's like, okay, you're done. And it's like, no, we're not done yet. And it's like, oh, yes, you are. You're done.
And then heaven forbid there's breaking news because that all goes out the window.
That goes out the window.
It's Hermine Hartman, Bob Chirito, Shannon Peoples, Maudlin Iherjurica, and we are on 720 WGN. Quick break and more on these fine journalists after this on WGN. Thank you, Jordan. 736, 720, WGN. It's Andrea and the reporters, Maudlin Iherjurica, Hermine Hartman, Bob Chirito, and Shannon Peoples. I'm doing better, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You nailed it this time.
All day. I was saying it all morning long. Iherjurica.
Don't worry about it.
Beautiful.
No one can pronounce
name.
It. No one.
Once you get it out. The name in Chicago journalism. Tied with Hermine Hartman.
Nah.
There you go. There's a little bit of love here.
Bet you tell that to all the girls.
No, just you guys.
Yeah, but you could do like the Cher thing. Everybody knows you by your first name.
I just do Maudlin I.
Maudlin I.
There you go.
There we go.
Let's talk.
We were talking a little bit during the break about different stories that we've covered, that you've covered, and how things have changed over the years with Facebook and social media. Would you say it's harder now to be a journalist, and why? With all the changes that have happened with the Facebook and the Facebook Live, and why is it harder now, or is it easier?
Well, it's certainly harder because, you know, the industry has completely changed. We went to journalism school to learn to be a reporter, to do the who, what, when, where, and why, right? And with internet killing print journalism and severely impacting broadcast journalism, we've had to face severe constrictions within the industry, so that now, you know, there are fewer photographers, fewer videographers, fewer copy editors. And so what has happened is that news reporters who went to school to learn how to write now have to take the photo, take the video.
One-man band.
It's a one-man band. Make sure that they're good with the editing before. You spend so much more time doing things that you never started out having to do. So that's what makes it more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things were divided, as Maudlin said. If you were the writer, you wrote. You weren't the photographer, and you damn sure weren't the videographer.
Right.
But now you're everything. You're all in one. But we've lost quality, I think. And I think I say this. There's been a revolution in this country, and nobody paid attention to it. It's called digital.
Mm-hmm.
These industries have changed. We have seen newspapers. I mean, come on. These were cash cow type companies. You read the New York Times. You read the Sun Times. And it was gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And now sometimes by the time we read it in the paper, we know it already.
Right.
We saw the music industry. We saw what digital did to that. We don't have record stores anymore.
Right.
You can be in your basement and become Prince. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you're seeing it. We're looking at it with movies.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the movies now, and in 2 weeks, I haven't been to the movies in I don't know how long. I went to the Grand.
I'm a teenager.
I haven't either.
Are you serious?
No, Netflix.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm with Ramin. I watch Netflix
stay home.
And Prime.
Ooh.
Sure.
We only got 2 weeks.
Sure.
And so now we got a new trend, and
yeah.
That is you go to the movies, and then they tell you it'll be on Netflix on November.
Yes.
I mean, I went to see Dolomite. I went opening night for Dolomite. Somebody took me for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like in 2 weeks. And I was like, well, why are we sitting up in the show, and it'll be on in 2 weeks? And she said, because it's your birthday and I want to surprise you. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. I got it. But the big movies, but if they don't go, if they don't put it in the theater, then they're not up for the academies.
Mm.
So that's why you do that for 2 weeks. So we're going to receive revolution in that.
Yes.
That's going to change the face of movies. You just sit at home. I was going to see Ebert's movie, and I was actually
Steve James movie.
Yeah, and I was just getting ready to go, and I just happened to turn on TV. Netflix was new then, and there it was on. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm getting ready to walk out the door and go see this. So there's been revolution. Anybody been to a school lately?
A school?
What do you mean?
Any school.
Pick one.
Okay, what's
and
happening?
The teacher throws it up on the television, throws up the whatever they're studying.
iBoards.
It goes on the iBoard.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is how long it's been since I've been
to
a school.
And then watch your book go up on the iBoard, and teacher teaches. And it's like, wait a minute, who's reading?
Right.
Mm. Oh, no.
I think what digital did was everything is too instant now.
Yeah.
You can talk to a friend of yours on the West Coast, and they say, hey, Shannon, you know, this just happened. I look on my phone, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Turn on CNN. It's instant. Everything is instantaneous right now.
Right.
And everybody's a reporter.
Yeah, no one wants to wait
around to get
the right story.
Everybody's a reporter.
Everybody's rushed now to put it on air.
Mm-hmm.
So what the kids say, when we were going through internally going through the conversion, trying to get the online and trying to, how do we do this?
Yeah.
I had a young lady, and she says, you don't have to be right. You have to be first.
No, come on.
It's
against every standard ever.
You don't have to be right.
You're right.
Yeah. You have to be first.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm.
You know, I had cover stories at 26 in California, and they're out online before I get back to my car.
See?
So there's a definite danger in the speed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And luckily, I work for good outlets, so we're pretty good about, you know, taking a little breath,
but
there's a major danger.
But they're still doing.
You are.
It's almost like
not.
It's
check.
Almost like
yeah.
the TMZ, like
oh,
the
yeah,
TMZ
yeah.
of the news business. If you look at TMZ, you actually have people who are just roaming the streets, guerrilla style,
right?
And they say, oh, click, 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 click.
Oh my God, we're
and
competing with TMZ.
Instantaneously, it's on TV.
All four of you are excellent examples of how you've successfully gone, how you've successfully maneuvered your way through the different media, whether it's print, being an author, being a crime reporter, being on television. You know, you can all succeed. You could do this show. You could go to Channel 9. You could go to Channel 7. You can write an article for the Sun Times. You all are the epitome of successfully transitioning.
Well, because we all know how to tell stories.
That's what it boils down to. Would you all agree that you can
because
tell
now
a story through a different
storytelling
medium?
As opposed to journalism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Storytelling versus journalism.
Yes.
Tell
mm-hmm.
a story.
Yes.
What did I tell
yes.
you today?
Yes.
Tell a story. Right. Mm-hmm. When you're interviewing somebody, tell their story.
And you know where that comes from. It comes from the same concepts that we're sitting here, bemoaning. And that is, today's society, they want to be entertained.
Right.
You know, and they have so many options.
Right.
So we are, even as journalists, trying to draw them in with more entertaining journalism. And what does that mean? It means storytelling. It means, as opposed to just giving them the who, what, when, where, and why, we now have to tell them a story. We have to make them want to see this, the truth, you know, the whatever it is that we're trying to share. And so it's all part and parcel of this same phenomenon.
If you could pick one of your stories to use as an example to do just that, what would it be? Would it be covering some
of how to tell the story?
Of how to properly tell the story by listening and writing.
Listening and writing, or TV, too.
Either or.
So we just did a story in our next show on a young man who was phenomenal. His name is Terrence Wallace.
He's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
He's an educator. He's an innovative educator. Out of the box, he's out of orbit. Mm-hmm. He went to New Zealand from the west side of Chicago. His mother, in third grade, took him out of the west side school and put him on the north side. He was the only black kid. He went to New Zealand. And he started a school. Now, listen to this.
Yeah.
He started a school. Okay, so in New Zealand, if you live in one zone, you can go to one school. You don't live in that zone, you go to other schools.
Okay.
So, and it's a qualitative difference in the schools.
Okay.
So here's his thought. Is I'm going to buy a mansion, and I'm going to go get the kids, and they're all going to live here, and they'll be in the right zone.
Mm.
So he went and got 38... boys, disadvantaged kids, and they all live in this house, dormitory style.
Wow.
Okay,
holy cow!
So now he's just up the ante because they all go to this good school.
Right.
So they've got life changing scholarships to college. Da 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 da. All right.
Wow.
7 years later, he's educated a whole group of kids in New Zealand.
Right.
So now he's coming back to Chicago to do the same. However, he's not doing it in Chicago proper.
Where's he doing it?
He's doing it in, have you ever heard of Rwanda, Illinois?
Yeah. Wakanda.
Wakanda. Yeah, sure.
I never heard of it. I thought
Wakanda.
It was Africa.
Side.
I said, you're going to Africa? He says, no, Illinois. And I was like, you're kidding. He's buying a mansion.
Wow.
And he's going to bring these kids up.
See, now this is a cool story.
That's a cool story. Now, we did the story, the interview. It was fascinating. But we've got him in New Zealand, video style.
Okay.
Showing
what he's doing.
What he's doing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's the perfect match to, it completes the storytelling.
Yes.
It shows the storytelling.
Yes.
It shows him going through O'Hara. It shows him in New Zealand. It shows him with the kids. They called him in New Zealand the black, what do they call him, the black African, the black Cuban or something. And he's with kids in a country he doesn't know, kids he doesn't know. And I'm like, how did you do this, man? Where'd you get this from? And then I said, so why don't you do this in the public school system?
In the Chicago public school system?
Well, it's too avant-garde for the public school system. But when you see this video,
It's amazing.
And then he accidentally, he had to track these kids. So this one's dancing, and this one's on the football field, and this one's playing rugby, and this one's doing this. So he created an app where he can trace and track each kid 24 hours. You went to bed, you're eating your breakfast, you're in the bathroom, you're playing ball, you're at school. He's got this app, he can punch up your name and he can track. Well, the New Zealand Army and Navy heard about it and said, hey, bring that app over here. Can we see it?
They
bought it because we could do this with the soldiers.
Right.
Oh, they bought it.
No way.
Yeah, they bought it.
Yep.
Holy
and
cow.
So now, and this was an accident. He was just trying to, you know,
help
take
some children.
No, you know,
educate
where's
oh, sure.
my kids?
Right.
So now he's going to make probably bukus of money.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
All right. But he was like, I just did it.
Is he going to come to Chicago?
He's here.
Oh, he is here.
He's here.
in Wakanda.
They did a documentary.
Illinois.
They did a documentary. It has won like the Academy Award in New Zealand.
That's fantastic. What's
it called? End Zone. The End Zone.
Okay. The End Zone.
The End Zone.
Okay.
And now he's coming here and he's going to do that. But the clips that we showed, it magnifies the story. It tells the story very quickly. And it's beautiful.
See,
it's
amazing. You all write stories and tell stories that make a difference.
It's a story.
That are impactful.
That's right.
And that could impact somehow all of us listening.
And I have to say one thing about that. What I thought was really ingenious about him, and I talked to Hermine about this, because she was telling me about him, and I said, wow, this is amazing. These children nowadays, their attention span is 10 seconds.
Yeah.
If they're not impressed in 10 seconds, you get no more energy from them.
Right, right.
And we need more innovative ways and thinking out of the box ways in order to educate these children nowadays. Because, I mean, I look at even in my family, these children are 6 and 7 years old. And I have to say, we say, hey, can you come fix my DVR? Can you fix my television? They're not like the 7 year olds of today are not like how we were when we were 7 year old, you know, 7 year old.
Much
they're
different.
On another level.
Oh no.
They're thinking
they're
way
using
out
this
of the
by
box.
Three. They're opening your phone
exactly.
by three. Yeah.
So I love the fact that he came up with this innovative, out of the way, out of the box, left field thinking program, and it's working. Mm. It is amazing.
That's
an amazing.
Awesome story.
Yes. Yeah,
it really is to be told.
Show in Indigo Studio.
That's amazing. It's Shannon Peoples, Bob Sherita, Hermine Hartman, and Madeline Ehrdjerkja. Oh, that was so good.
I was waiting for that.
I got it. And you have an event that we're going to talk about, too.
Yes.
Quick break here on 720 WGN. 7:53 on 720 WGN. It's Andrea and the reporters, Madeline Ehrdjerkja, Hermine Hartman, Bob Sherita, and Shannon Peoples, my guest tonight on the program. And there's just, we've decided there's not enough time. We want you all to come back after the holidays and continue telling your stories. Madeline, I know you have an event that's coming up on Friday.
Yes.
It's the 80th anniversary dinner. Tell us about this, and are there still tickets? Can we still attend this?
So, this is the 80th anniversary of the Chicago Journalists Association. It is the oldest journalism organization in Chicago. And so our dinner is this Friday, 6:30 to 10:30 p.m. at the Hyatt Regency Chicago. We will be celebrating the year's best journalism, very apropos for our conversation tonight about journalism. And we're giving the Lifetime Achievement Award to ABC 7 Chicago's Cheryl Burton.
Congratulations, Cheryl.
Who, as we all know, was promoted last year to anchor of the number one rated evening news TV show on in Chicago, which is ABC 7. And Jim Kirk, who is the publisher of Crane Chicago Business and has turned around every single outlet, print outlet you can name.
That's right.
From the
Sun-Times
to the Tribune to the LA Times, will be speaking on the challenges facing journalism. Mm. And then we've got Lourdes Duarte, mistress of ceremony. She, of course, is the 4:30 p.m. anchor for WGN 9. And we have the late Roger Ebert's wife, Chaz Ebert, who will be doing a special guest tribute. Tickets are $100, folks, $70 for journalists, $1,000 a table. Ticket sales will close tomorrow because we are near capacity. Mm. Get your tickets now.
Yes, support the CJA. And this is a huge undertaking. Look at those names that you just mentioned.
It's a all-star lineup.
It is. It is.
All-star
lineup. $100 a ticket for journalists, $70.
Yeah.
Please support
the
CJA.
Can I just say www.chicagojournalists.net/donations. Once again, www.chicagojournalists.net/donations.
And if someone can't attend, can they still make a donation?
Oh, and you can please make a donation.
Please support journalists. Please support working journalists. All right. Before we go here, you are the author of Escape from Nigeria, a memoir of faith, love, and war. How difficult was it to write a novel, to write a book?
You know, it's a story I had in me since I was six, because we're talking about storytelling, and it's that story that your parents have told you over and over and over since you were six. And it's a story I grew up with, saying, I'm going to write that story one day, because I gravitated toward writing and reading. And so, yeah, it stayed with me for years and years. It was not difficult, because it's a story I knew well. So it was only difficult in that I had to relive one of the worst times in the 20th century, which is the genocide that was committed during the Nigerian-Biafran War, one of the five, or rather ranked number five among the worst genocides of the 20th century.
And she had her mother.
It's my mother's memoir, and so I had to relive this with her as she cried during the oral history. Yeah.
That's, are you going to write another one?
I keep saying it's my first book, and that's part of psyching myself out to finally get past page two, which is what I've been on for about 2 years now on the second book.
Thank you so much for being here. Again, you're all going to come back because there was just not enough time. Where can we find you, Maudlin, in the Sun-Times?
Yes, of course, you can find me in the Chicago Sun-Times. I'm at Maudlin I on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And we're going to podcast this show afterwards as well. We'll be on Instagram, too. Bob, where can people find you, aside from writing on City Hall and all things crime and corruption?
Reuters, New York Times, Black Club Chicago, Chicago Magazine, The Chicago Reporter. Now I have a new thing with Wisconsin Public Radio.
Cool.
No Very radio nice. Background.
All right.
All, love it.
Hermine Hartman, where can we find you?
Indigo.com, Indigo.com. And I want everybody to look at Indigo Studio.
It's N-D-I-G-O.
Yes. We come on Channel 5 on Saturday nights at 1 o'clock. And then we come on the U at 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And then on Monday evening, 7 o'clock, we come on Channel 25.
And can we say it? The highest rated show.
The highest rated weekend show
on the U.
Right off the bat. Right off the
bat. Female journalist. There we go. And Shannon, where can we find you?
Also on Indigo Studio with Hermine Hartman on our new talk show.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Had the highly rated talk show. Thank you all for being here. Happy Monday. We'll have you back after the holidays. Justin Kaufman and Extension 720 coming up next.